Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
This is an Entel Studios production.
We're on.
I'm really excited this week.
Are you?
Yes, because I feel like you and I this week, sometimes we know exactly what the other's going to talk about and we are like, okay, this is, you know, you talk about that then I'll talk about this. This week, I'm excited because I feel like you've got secrets. I've got secrets and you keep starting something and then going, no, you don't know about that. I'm not going to tell you. And then I'm not telling you about this thing and I'm really excited to tell you. And I'm really excited because not only is this podcast for you out there, listeners, it's also for us.
It is. One of the reasons this podcast exists is because I used to tell you things and you used to tell me things.
Yes. That would help each other.
Yeah.
You've got a problem. Let me fix it. We're fixers, you and me.
Well, what problems are you going to fix for me today?
I've got a really good one. Should we tell them what the podcast is first?
Yes.
You do that.
Okay, so this is Making the Cut, hosted by me, Michael Douglas, and...
me, Davina McCall.
And it's called Making the Cut because we try and test various things that we would like to think improve our lives and therefore could improve your lives. And it's whether those things make the cut or not. So it's nothing to do with cutting hair, despite what I do for a living.
It's a clever play on words, though.
It's quite a clever play on words, isn't it? So that's what it is, really. So there are various things that have made the cut this week. One of them is a foodstuff.
A foodstuff?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So
yes.
I'm going to let you taste this because it's just fresh out of the oven. Now, what I would say
Can I just paint the picture?
Yes.
Michael, one of my most favourite things about you is how particular you are about food and your enjoyment of food and how important it is. Now, for somebody who struggles sometimes eating enough or your sheer enjoyment of food brings me enormous joy. So I'm just going to paint a picture.
Okay.
He wants me to try some garlic butter, but unlike me, who would give him a sort of dried up bit of bagel and just go, here, try the butter on this, he's got a bit of ciabatta, he's taken it out, unbeknownst to me, he's put it in the oven, he's warmed up the ciabatta, he's got the garlic bread out, he's put it on a board. I mean, the whole thing, this is a thing.
Yes.
Okay.
So... I stumbled across this about a year or two ago.
Yeah.
I just assumed everybody knew about it. But when I speak to people,
nobody seems to know about it.
No, well, this is it. I said to you, have you tried this? You said, what is it? So we're both big fans of Lurpak.
Yes.
I love Lurpak.
Yes, and we're not sponsored by Lurpak.
I'm not sponsored, but if Lurpak wanted to send us free butter,
anything.
We would eat it
endlessly.
Lovingly, yes.
Yeah.
And you are the butter queen. I've never known anything.
I am.
Never known anyone eat quite so much butter. And you also like garlic, I presume.
Yes,
right?
I love garlic. I'm French.
I've seen you eat garlic bread as well. It's like watching Jurassic Park. The bit where the Tyrannosaurus Rex is chasing the car. That's essentially what happens. So I thought, instead of buying a garlic baguette, I would buy the bread I like, and then I'd buy this garlic butter. So it's from Lurpak. It's £1.45. You get it in this little tube here. Have you seen this before?
But what I really like about the tube is that it is very French looking. This is how the French have butter.
Exactly. So it's not. It's more like a long cube than a tube, just in case you're looking for it on the shelves.
Yeah.
But it's things. Only 125 grams you get. It's £1.45. I get this from Sainsbury's, but I'm sure you can get it anywhere else.
Why do they do it in such...
I don't know. I can only assume it's like rich.
Yeah.
You know, like it might not be that good for you.
Yeah.
I haven't done the...
I mean, it can't be any worse for you.
But let me give you a piece of it to try. Now, we always said on this podcast we wouldn't do this thing where we get you to try stuff to see whether you like it or not. Yeah. I already know you're going to like it. It's just a measurement of how much you're going to like it.
Mm. But you know you've got to put quite a lot on there.
I mean, there is a lot on here. I'm going to put a bit extra on as well for you because Right.
If anybody has the phobia of chewing noises, which we do know some of our listeners do have, don't listen now because I'm about to bite into a crispy ciabatta, which I'm going to take this end because it's got a lot more butter on it.
Yeah, Jesus.
I love it already.
It's so good, this stuff.
Oh, my God.
Right?
It's really garlicky.
Yeah, and buttery.
You never need... garlic bread ever again.
You just buy the bread you like and put this stuff
on
it. I know, right? But not only that. You want to cook a chicken?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Want to cook chicken?
Cover the chicken
everywhere.
In this stuff, right? I did a piece
potatoes.
Of salmon. Did a bit of salmon earlier. Bit of those little choppy mini roasted potatoes. Mm. Chuck it on there. Basically, chuck it on everything and anything. It is so good.
Do you know who's going to love this?
Who?
Chester.
Yeah.
All he's the boys, my garlic fiend.
All the girls. I'm going to have to
help
a little bit as well.
Oh, my God.
It's a total game changer, but on the chicken, it's outrageously good. You get very crispy skin.
No, but you would put it on everywhere. Why do they put it in such a small pack? We need to talk to Lurpak.
Mm. If you don't know about this, then go
get
and buy
the,
some.
Get with the programme. This is the best. Why do we not know about... why is this not everywhere, though? I don't understand. It's one of those things where you think... this is a product that everybody should be using every day. I would have this just for breakfast on a... Does it make your breath smell?
We'll find out later.
Well, we won't because
we'll both
stink.
We'll have to go and kiss other people.
Oh.
That was a joke.
Oh, okay.
Backfire. So that's it, folks. That's my first recommendation.
God, that was really bloody good.
That definitely made the cut.
No, but you...
what?
You've excelled yourself.
Really?
There. Yes.
I've just bitten into a piece of garlic.
That was so... okay, I've got to try and... I've just got to try and regroup here. Okay, this is my one that I want to show you.
Okay.
So, yesterday, a friend of mine told me about something in her cupboard. She knows about your condiment addiction.
Oh, okay, good.
And you know what it's like when you've got a cupboard with condiments in and... or a fridge with condiments in.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is, generally speaking, in a fridge, they all go on the top shelf. And, you know, you've got spring onions from 2012 in there. And pesto from...
yeah.
You just can't see anything. And everything's at the back. And you end up buying cranberry sauce again and again because it's... So it's just one of those things you just think, well, whatever. Or cupboards, you know, with spices in. I mean, you have to be quite she to have a spice rack.
Yes.
But, you know, generally speaking, you put all your spices just in one cupboard and, you know, they're all about, you can't see anything, you can't find anything, you never see them again.
Yeah.
She told me about...
who's she?
Kirsty Spence.
Okay.
A lazy Susan in your cupboard. Have you got one?
No.
Have you heard about it?
No, but it's
have
instantly just
it?
Like, why haven't I invented this?
Well, for the love of God... these spin round.
Oh,
so you put it in every cupboard. You put it... so it... I always thought the lazy Susans were just the things that you got in the middle of a table.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you had a big round table or...
like a big Chinese restaurant, basically.
I was just going to say, do you remember back in the day when we could go to a Chinese restaurant? Mm. Well, that kind of thing where you spin the thing round and everybody gets some of the...
yes.
Prawn crackers. Prawn toast. Deep fried prawn toast. Oh, my God. Anyway... so the lazy Susan is the thing that you spin round. But you can get them any size. And it isn't just for tables. It's for everything. Everywhere. So you could have all your oils on a lazy Susan next to your Argo. You could open your spice cupboard and just have them. They've got them for everything. But the best is in the fridge. The fridge is like a black hole for condiments.
Oh, yes.
Stuff goes
stuck
to the
at
back.
The back. You're doomed.
And
I've got a
plastic
hoisting
revolving,
sauce.
So I'm just having a quick look on Amazon here. For £10, you've got my M Design Lazy Susan Turntable Condiment Holder, plastic revolving condiments and spice rack, kitchen storage unit. But you can put those in... you've got double-decker Lazy Susan.
Double-decker, okay. Because what's weird about this is my condiment tray is a round tray that I put into the cupboard and then have to pull out each night to look for stuff.
Right, so now...
it's never even dawned on me that I could just spin that round and rotate.
But is it a Lazy Susan?
No, mine isn't. It's just a round tray.
Well,
but it didn't dawn on me that I could have built something that would have done that.
It's your birthday in 2 days.
It is.
The 9th of May.
And...
You know what you're going to get?
I'm going to get a lazy Susan.
You're going to get a lot of, like, for everywhere.
Yeah,
every
okay.
cupboard, every nook, every cranny.
Well, it's great. The other thing is, because I'm quite small, a lot of the high-up cupboards are difficult.
Yes.
So well, the fact worry, that I can reach up
same.
And then spin
yes.
it would be great.
And even just, I mean, it's just one of those things where in every single cupboard, mm-hmm. in a bathroom cupboard, it's just really useful.
Yeah.
And it's helpful to tidy.
It's very helpful for tidying, yes, I agree. And I organised my house yesterday. I did like 6 hours of non-stop organising,
oh God,
throwing
was it
stuff
nice?
Out. Yeah, it was extremely nice. And
cathartic.
I feel my brain feels a lot less cluttered today because of it. I've thrown loads of stuff out.
What sort
this
of
thing,
stuff did you throw out?
Just like old picture yeah. frames that I'll never use. Or
do you find it hard to let go of that
not
sort of
particularly,
stuff?
No, I'm quite good at throwing stuff out. I have a rule, basically, that if I've not used it or looked at it or played with it or whatever for like 6 months to a year, it can get thrown out.
Wow.
And but if it's something that I want to hold on to slightly, I take a photo of it and then throw it out. So at least I've got like a memory of it, if I need a memory of it or something like that.
Oh my God, that is such a
yes,
good idea.
That was a recommendation to people, that if you're struggling throwing stuff out because it holds some kind of weird value, but it doesn't hold any
but
actual value.
But it's not sentimental
no,
value.
No, obviously you don't want to
yeah.
throw away, you know, sentimental jewellery or anything yeah. like that. But there's lots of crap you have, isn't there, lying around
yeah.
in the loft and in these drawers and stuff. And I always think, well, I like it, but I don't want to keep it. So
yeah.
photograph bin. So I did a lot of that yesterday.
That's extremely clever.
It's quite funny when you're talking about this that... I saw Adele once, you know, the lady singer Adele.
Yeah.
And she does a song called Turning Tables, which is a breakup song of her and her boyfriend, but it happens in a Chinese restaurant.
Oh my God.
Over a lazy Susan.
No.
Yes. And that's where the song came from, Turning Tables, is
oh,
her
that's so funny.
Using the lazy Susan as a metaphor for how their relationship turned
wow.
around. And when you said, you know, the turning tables thing, I was thinking, oh my God, that's that Adele story, you know. Very funny that,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, that's so weird.
Yeah. Little did we know that such a kind of powerful and difficult song was basically just like, pass me the prawn crackers.
But I, exactly. But I, you know what I'm really pleased about?
Yeah?
Is that we've both kicked off today's episode
with foods.
With an absolute corker.
Yeah.
Both of those I can't live without kitchen things.
I totally agree, yes. I'm delighted.
Right, what do you want to talk about next?
I just want to eat that.
Don't.
Okay, I'll save it for later.
Save it.
One thing I would do, say, is that I've started going to the gym in the evenings.
Oh, yes. So
yeah.
You've talked about Pure Gym before.
I've talked about Pure Gym, and that's why I just thought I would give it a little back ref to say I still go. Since they opened the gyms up, I've been going in the mornings. But the other night, I decided to go in the evening.
Mm. Why?
Because I just couldn't be arsed going during the day. You know, when you think, oh,
you
I don't want
tired?
To go and all that. I was tired when I went. I went at 10:30 at night.
Wow, that's late.
It's quite late, isn't it? What's great about the old Pure Gym is it's open 24/7, so even on Christmas Day, I think you can go. And I thought, well, I'll go and see what it's like. What's quite good is on the app, you can see who's in the gym. It tells you like how, the capacity of the gym and who's in it. So
who was in it?
There was 12 people in the gym.
What?
With 139 capacity.
12 people in the gym at 10:30 at night?
All the gainers, all the hard gainers were in there.
Oh, what, like going for massive
going
weights?
For massive weights.
Did it inspire you?
No, not at all.
Okay.
But I tell you what, just as a little thing, if you're a gym goer and you were thinking about Pure Gym or whatever it is, what I found going in the evening was that there was no time restriction on me at all. Like, I did more than I would have done normally, like more reps.
Oh, because you didn't have to go anywhere?
I didn't have to go anywhere other than go to bed. I didn't have to eat either,
yeah.
Even though I did. But,
yeah, but you do have to eat.
Yeah, I mean, you should have something to eat after you're...
No, but like you...
I do need to eat,
like
but not
more
11,
than
11
I wouldn't,
yeah.
perhaps, but you should.
But what I found is I thought, oh, it's like 10 to 11, and then I thought it's 11, and then I thought, oh, I'll just do those exercises all again, and then I thought, oh, I'll do an extra 2 reps on everything. Like, there was no pressure, whereas if I go in the morning, I think, oh, my God, I've got to walk the dog, and then I've got to go and collect this, and then I've got to go and do that. There was none of that at all.
No.
It was just exercise. And then I thought, oh, great, I'll have a brew and go to bed.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the McDonald's is next door to the gym, so I've got 20 chicken McNuggets as well, which is not a recommendation, by the way. It was just, I just really felt tempted.
Mm-hmm.
And Usain Bolt was a great inspiration.
You love a nugget.
I do like a nugget.
Tell the story about Usain Bolt, because never heard that before.
Usain Bolt, just before he broke the world record, not just broke it, but absolutely annihilate it. I don't know if you've ever seen the footage of that, but he's running with his shoelaces undone as well. Have you ever seen that? So when he breaks the world record, his shoes aren't even tied on his feet. His shoelaces are undone.
What, on purpose?
think he just forgot to tie them or something. But the interesting thing is he was so paranoid that his food was going to get spiked with some banned substances, like someone was going to put some steroids into his food or anything like that. So he took himself to McDonald's before the race and he bought 36 chicken nuggets and he ate them.
Is that not the best advert for McDonald's? Did he do an advert for McDonald's?
I'm sure he did. But he said it was just the only place you could get safe food because they'd have to contaminate all the McDonald's food with all the people if they were going to spike his food.
How safe do you think chicken nuggets are?
Well, I think they're safer than, you know,
I'm joking. I'm being facetious.
But yeah, it is a funny story that, I think. But
I'm still reeling from those chicken supremes.
Chicken selects.
Selects, that's it.
Yeah, they're crazy, aren't they? We shouldn't recommend
select
them.
Select is a weird
Yeah, it is a weird name. Thing, isn't it? Yeah.
Can Supreme would be much select? Better.
Yeah. So how did we get there?
I'm not entirely sure, but okay. you were clearing things out and then, oh, we went to Pure Gym.
Oh, Pure Gym. That was right. So anyway, I would recommend it. I'd highly recommend it. If you've got a Pure Gym membership, go late in the evening before you go to bed. I was tired when I got there, but after the first few exercises and a bit of a warm up, I was fine. And then a few banging tunes and I was away. And then I felt great the following morning because...
I were done,
you know, like I didn't need to get up and do anything particularly and I could feel my body was like a bit pumped and that, you know, so it were great. I'd highly recommend it.
Other gyms out there that are open in the evening. It was just a kind of an idea because we've already recommended them, haven't we? Graham Herron.
Oh, yeah.
Your friend.
Yeah, yeah.
So he and I met the other day. That sounds really dodgy, doesn't it?
Okay.
No, he was doing my blinds, and that isn't a euphemism.
No, well, thank God for that.
And he then said, oh, it's Michael's birthday soon, isn't it? And I know that you want a wallet, and I potentially should have left this until after your birthday, but a wallet is a very difficult thing to buy for someone. It's like buying a woman a handbag. It is a very, very personal thing. Mm-hmm. Would you agree?
Yeah, completely. I mean, I'd really not like to buy you a handbag, basically.
No. Well, if you did, you know where to go.
Do I?
Yes.
Okay.
It's the place where I only have handbags from this place.
Yeah, yeah.
So this company that he's got a wallet by this company. It's called Secrid, which is spelt SECRID.com.
Okay.
The funny thing nowadays about businesses is that everybody wants the .com.
Yes.
So you just will think of literally any name where the .com's still available. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Is that
the
Secrid?
Secrid.com. You just think, what is Secrid?
It doesn't matter.
It's just a made-up word. Yeah. But it's .com, so who cares? So Secrid have got this really amazing thing with their men's wallets. Mm-hmm. You know what's annoying with the wallet is... With a man's wallet or with a woman's wallet, when you've got your cards tucked into the Whatsit, if you've got more than one card in there, it's really hard to access the back card.
Oh, I always cut the corners of my fingers because as I dig in, one card digs into my finger and then cuts it a little bit. And then you have to pull them out and then you have a sore finger for the rest of the month or something.
It's really annoying.
Yeah, yeah.
And who's got six cards? No one. I mean... I've got loyalty cards for Hoopers, my local shopping thing. I've got loyalty cards for... I've got loyalty cards for bloody Harrods.
Yeah.
I haven't been to Harrods for 10 years, but I've still got loyalty.
Yeah.
I've just got loyalty cards for everything. Uh-huh. And I still seem to be saying no to loyalty cards all the time.
Oh, me too.
I've got so many. So, this is a very clever thing where you can put 4 to 6 cards into a special thing where when you press this little button at the bottom of the wallet, so the wallet is leather fronted, but it also has a little metal case in it and a tiny little button at the bottom of the case. And when you flick the button to the right, your 4 to 6 favorite cards spring up out of the wallet and you just take the card you want.
Okay.
Like that.
Yeah. Okay.
And they're very easy to pull out.
Right.
And or you could take all of them out at the same time and then put them all back in again.
Okay.
It's super duper easy. So
I like the sound of this.
You've got just a card protector here which will carry 4 to 6 cards.
Okay.
You've got this money band one where you can put cash inside the elastic band that goes around the outside. I mean, this one's very basic, the money band one. It's £10. It's a stainless steel thing. It pushes up your credit cards that you want. And around the outside is a kind of elastic band that you can tuck cash into. Mm-hmm. Then you've got the card slide, which is for 4 to 6 cards to spring out of the top.
Okay.
Then you can actually put extra cards inside, and cards and sort of receipts and things, or small personal items. Then you've got the mini wallet. Now, the mini wallet starts to open up, where you can open it up and start putting cash inside.
Okay.
And you can get them in all different colours.
Okay.
I mean, a lot of different colours.
Oh, wow. God, there's hundreds of colours.
Hundreds of colours.
Okay.
And basically, it then has a cash thing, which you can keep your cash in. I think the Slim Wallet. Is this the one that Graham had?
Slim Wallet sounds good to me. What I hate is the fact that it ruins the shape of my jeans or something.
So this, when you look at it, it is literally only the size of the card.
Okay.
Not only have you got the bit that you click and the cards come out of this side, you also have a cash thing where you can slide your cash into that bit and it all folds over, and this is genuinely the width of it. It is so compact.
Okay. Well,
when he showed me, I was like, wow. I mean, obviously, Graham.
Yeah.
You know, businessman. He's got the double, extra thick, like...
Oh, yeah, yes.
He's got the mega one.
He's got all these business cards in there, right?
He's got all his business cards in there. But I think you would want the slimline one.
I definitely want the slimline one.
But it's very clever.
Okay, good. It looks very good. I mean, it's a real problem for me. I mean, I tried to put everything in my Apple Watch, everything on the phone, all that stuff, and it kind of works. Mm. But, you know, there's like 3 or 4 cards I still need to carry around every day. Bloody pain it is.
And they've literally got like faux croc, they've got, you know, all different kinds of stuff. And it's a really, I think guys are super, super duper hard to buy presents for
they
sometimes.
Really are,
so if you want to get a present for a guy, a sacred wallet is quite a clever idea.
Yes, my kids would quite like these as well.
Yes.
Really good little, I'm going to put it in the old memory banks for Christmas.
Yeah, well, you don't need to put it in the memory bank because we've talked about it on the podcast. It's right here.
It'll be in the Entail app.
It'll be in the Entail app.
Very good.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Okay, first thing, Alan Partridge, this time with Alan
Did
Partridge.
Did you watch it?
I watched it,
and?
Yes. Ooh, I mean, there are like 5 or 6 big laughs in it, but there are moments where it drags on a little bit. They do these VTs where they...
Oh my God, I'm upset.
They really labour the joke, you know, and you think, I didn't really need to labour it for that long, you know. But the bits where they're in the studio and everything is superb, so you must watch it. It's on a Friday night at 9:30, I think it's BBC One.
Do you think...
It's this time with Alan Partridge.
Because... Because you know it so well,
yes.
Possibly their biggest critic as well as fan.
Yes.
That you possibly would critique it more than I would because...
Yes.
I just think it's funny. But you're like, no, I've known every single episode of everything he's ever done and there is funnier.
Yeah.
But actually, I'd be rolling around.
Yeah. You might be. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's good. I'd definitely give it a watch. I'm still recommending it because I do still love it.
Okay,
but
good.
I wish they'd just slightly shorten those VT bits, you know. Should we talk about the film we watched?
Yes.
We watched 2 films.
Yes.
The Mauritanian.
Yes, that one.
What's it called?
Mauritanian.
If you stray outside the designated areas, you will be removed from the island.
It's recommended you wear a hijab when visiting your client. We've had incidents of inmates spitting at female lawyers.
You want to represent the head recruiter for 9/11?
Mohamedou Ould Slahi, the Mauritanian held in Guantanamo. He recruited the guys who flew your friend's plane into the South Tower.
He put those men on my husband's plane.
The Mauritanian. We watched that.
Because he's from Mauritania.
Yep. And the other one we watched was Escape from Pretoria.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Visitors are once per month.
Did you ever sleep through my bed again?
I could get used to this.
You are the white mandala. You are the most deluded of them all.
Whatever happens in here, don't give up.
We've heard about you two. How many years?
For me, 12 for him. But we don't plan on staying that long.
Yes.
Is it acceptable to do a South African accent?
I don't know, but do you know what?
Yeah, it's worrying all of a sudden,
I know
isn't
this
it?
Sounds... This sounds really posh.
Yeah.
And well, I am embarrassed to say it, but
say
I did.
It.
I had a nanny to help me with my kids for 10 years called Britta.
Oh, God. Yeah. Steady. It's okay. Yep.
And Britta was my lifeline. Like, she was just like, I mean, she still is. She's my great friend.
Yes.
And I love that woman and my children love her more than you could ever say. And Britta has just become a mummy.
Yes.
Herself. And Britta,
Britta
is South African.
Is she?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yes. And also, she's from Durban. And also, I worked with a South African for 6 years at Models One. And who was really funny, called Craig. And I also, my mother, who I didn't see that often, but she was married until her husband died, to a South African.
Okay.
He was the last husband.
Wow. You're virtually South African,
so
basically.
So I've been surrounded by South Africans a lot of my life. So I feel like I do know the accent really well, but it's not really right to mimic someone's accent. You're right.
Yeah.
But I very... do you know one of
that,
my favorite my favorite things?
Yeah.
So I know something rude in in Afrikaans, which is "gaan kak in die mielies."
Okay.
Which is "go shit in the bushes."
Okay. Great.
And "totsiens" is really sweet. Mm-hmm. Like "totsiens" is kind of "see you soon."
Oh, okay. Good.
And "dis 'n plesier om vir u te ontmoet."
Right.
It's a pleasure to meet you.
Okay.
And "kom hier." Come here.
And what's this? Afrikaans.
Afrikaans. It was basically what the sort of Boer South Africans used to speak.
Okay.
It was the Afrikaans language, Afrikaner's language. But I really enjoyed the historical side of this and the ANC and the fact that Daniel Radcliffe and his mate were... I thought that actor that played the guy that was with Daniel Radcliffe...
The blonde guy?
Yes.
Yeah, he was great, wasn't he?
He was fabulous.
He stole the show, really.
He really did. Yes. And, but Daniel Radcliffe was also really good, but I really enjoyed it. It's based on a true story.
Mm-hmm.
And it was at the time of apartheid and the ANC were just kind of, I think already Nelson Mandela was already in prison.
In prison, yeah.
And these two white men joined the ANC to try and fight for the black South Africans' rights and to share power.
Mm-hmm.
With the real people of South Africa. So I enjoyed that kind of history lesson. And they had some real footage in there as well, which was quite potent and fascinating. But these guys basically get sent to prison and it's their journey after that and what happens to them and how hard their life is. And I it was very, very, very tense. And it was recommended.
You're pacing around a lot.
Well, I had to... Yeah. I mean, you're very calm. I get so tense. I have to... I mean, for me, immediately I watch a movie, once I'd got past Daniel Radcliffe's wig, which is your fault because...
Yes, wigs are tricky, right?
You have started me being extremely picky about people's hair in movies.
Mm. It's a big deal.
Because his hair wasn't the same colour as his beard.
Yes, I know. And I mean, you know, it's because they're trying to match it. And the lighting was too harsh,
I
think.
It was so harsh.
So you end up seeing all the orange in the hair and not enough of the brown. It's tricky. But yeah, it was a good film. I mean, I did think that it could have been shorter. Didn't need to be that long, I don't think. It was quite a simple story, really. Escape from the prison, you know. No, I mean, you don't know whether they escape from the prison or not, you know. It's called Escape from Pretoria. So they're trying to escape, and it's like, will they, won't they? And they drag that out for quite a considerable length of time. But they build a lot of suspense in there. There's a huge amount of tension. I think it's a good old classic escape movie.
And it's ingenious. I love the way that they do it.
Yeah,
and you're thinking, there's no way. And because it's based on a true story, you think, oh my God, that is absolutely miraculous. And you think, there's no way these guys are ever going to figure out a way to do it. And it's just bit by bit by bit, you know, tenacity and... Mm.
So the interesting bit is they're in a cell where there's a barred door in front of them with a key lock in it. Mm-hmm. And then there's another door in front of that, but mm-hmm. the key lock is only on the outside of the door, mm-hmm. not the inside of the door. Mm-hmm. So we have this idea about making keys to get out, but how do you unlock a door when you only get access from the outside? Mm. And I thought that was
really
clever. Yeah. So there's lots of really good bits about it. I think it's a really good story. It's worth watching. And it's also a good reminder of what happened out there.
They did record somebody, it was one of our listeners that recommended it to us.
Oh, was it?
Yes, and she said
Zoe
that we were on Cuff. the edge of our seat. Yes. You'll be on the edge of your seat. And she was absolutely right. Because we'd put out a shout out saying, what should we watch? And she had recommended that. So
yeah, thanks, Zoe. It was a good watch. You're not on the edge of your seat. You've left your seat. And you're wandering around the house with your head in your hands most of the time.
And then you're going, come and sit down.
You're going to miss all the plot points.
And I'm like, I want to miss. And then I'm like, oh, I need to go to the loo. Because I just cannot handle it.
It's fascinating seeing outrageous racism like that when you see it in South Africa. Just how blatant it is.
Yes.
And I mean, honest is probably not the right word, but it's so blatantly honest that they just hate them.
Yes.
And then want to kill them.
Yes.
And that was acceptable. I mean, it's just unbelievable. There's a really good clip somewhere on a black South African guy on Live at the Apollo doing a joke about racism, and he says something like, you know, the kind of racism you've got over here is not really racism. He said, you know, people not allowed to sit on a certain part of the bus. He said, it's not really racism that. You want to come to where I lived, you know? And then he said,
they had that real footage of the guy getting really badly beaten.
Yeah, yeah.
Not just trying to walk down the street. Yeah, and nobody's stopping it.
Yeah.
Nobody's. And you've got a white policeman just beating the crap out of this guy with a baton.
Yeah.
And then he just gets into a sort of, it seems like a random car.
Yes.
Who kind of rescue him and take him off. But you just think, my God.
I'm always fascinated by the word apartheid as well. I never really met anybody who knows what it really means.
And?
No, I mean, I still don't really know. So we could have a little look. But people say, like, it's apartheid. They don't say an apartheid.
No.
And that's quite interesting as well. So why wouldn't you do that? Because you normally put an in front of a vowel, a word that starts with a vowel, don't you? An apple.
Apartness in the language of Afrikaans.
Ah, okay. So it is specifically an African thing.
Apartheid is apartness.
What's apartness?
Well, apart being apart.
Oh, apartness. Okay, apartness. Okay.
So was a system of legislation that upheld segregationist polices against non-white citizens of South Africa. After the National Party gained power in South Africa in 1948, its all-white government immediately began enforcing existing policies of racial segregation.
Wow, God, it's incredibly...
Terrible, right?
Oh, it's unbelievable. Suddenly,
you're in your own country and you're not allowed to go to certain parts of the town, sit in certain buses, use a loo.
Yeah, well, especially when you think about Africa as largely a black continent as well.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I mean, you just think, well, how has this worked out? It's worth watching just to kind of reignite your imagination what went on.
It is.
But I am going to talk about a couple of things. One is a David Bowie documentary that I've been watching on the iPlayer called...
I definitely want to watch that.
Finding Fame.
And?
It's really good. I get into bed sometimes at night and just think, well, I just need something to watch for 10 minutes just while I wind down. And then I usually look through the documentaries and see what's going on. And there's this David Bowie one. Now, I don't know a lot about David Bowie. I'm not a big fan either of David Bowie. There's a few songs I quite like, you know, Let's Dance and I loved Moon Age Daydream and a couple of other things.
Do you know what? I like David Bowie, but it was my childhood.
Yeah, well, you're a different generation to me, and I think that's and one my,
all
significant
my friends
difference.
We're in Bowie bags. Mm. I was sort of 16, 17. We'd all get stoned. Mm. Sorry, kids, don't do drugs.
Yeah.
And listen to his songs. And his songs were so intricate.
Yes.
And you'd hear and you'd think, God, what planet is it? So the stuff that you're talking about is much more recent. But
oh, yes.
If you go back...
Oh well,
it's so trippy.
You wait till you go back and watch this documentary because it's even trippier at the beginning. He does like five or six singles that don't even touch the charts, stuff you would never have heard of with all sorts of different bands before he's David Bowie.
Oh, wow.
He does one called The Laughing Gnome. Have you ever heard of The Laughing
Gnome?
No. It's bizarre. It's like the Smurfs or something.
And it is David Bowie, so well done.
What? Not Bowie, mm-hmm. Bowie. Mm-hmm. So anyway, it was quite interesting, but he lives in this kind of suburban... part of London. I think it might be Bromley. He was born in Brixton, but then he moves out to, I think it's Bromley or Broccoli. And he's raised by his family in this kind of classic 1930s semi. You know, it's mm-hmm. really boring. He's desperate mm-hmm. to get out, you know, and he's constantly experimenting with, I guess, music and the way he looks and the way he behaves and then makeup and all sorts of mm-hmm. stuff. And it's a very interesting look at somebody who now you perhaps in this kind of modern liberal age probably would have been non-binary, I would have thought. Where back then you were just kind of alternative. You liked wearing funny clothes and all that kind of stuff. So it's quite interesting to think that there's this idea that all this non-binary stuff's come about
new,
all
yeah,
of a sudden
but
it's brand
not,
new. But actually it's
not,
been,
it's
around,
been
for
around for years.
It's just never had those words, you know.
In fact, if you look at all the new romantics,
yeah,
in terms
yeah.
of clothing, there was a real crossover between men and
makeup,
women. Like
earrings,
everybody looked the same. Mm. Guys were wearing the same makeup as girls. That,
yeah.
You know, we forget about all of that.
Yeah, so that's one thing that really struck my imagination is just how alternative he was, but also how kind of liberal everybody was. So he was in bands and people said, you know, people assumed he was homosexual, but nobody seemed to care whether he was or wasn't.
But do you not feel that musicians are always permitted a lot of extra slack that society, generally speaking, won't afford anybody that's not famous? So back in the day, say... in America, when America was, I think, still in slavery, and Dinah Washington was a jazz artist, and she was fated on the jazz scene in America, and yet black people were suffering everywhere else, but she was okay because she was a singer.
Yeah, yes.
And I suppose I think singers were always, or Freddie Mercury, but still there was Clause 28, you know, which made being gay illegal.
Yeah.
But he was the most famous gay ever. So there's sort of that feeling of, well, it's all right if you're famous, but not if you're anything
else. Freddie Mercury only officially came out a week before he died.
Yeah.
I mean, it's quite amazing, that, isn't it? But there's a great clip of him on Instagram. I don't know if you've seen it, where the interviewer says, have you got any hobbies? Is there anything you like doing? And he's smoking a cigarette and he goes, no. And he goes, I like having lots of sex. And then he takes a drink of his cigarette. And you just think, wow, what a great answer, you know. And it's just so random, like, I don't know. And you think about that time, it seems so prudish to even say something like that. But actually,
well,
it was all going off, right?
Do you remember, you might, again, be a bit too young for this, but Mary Whitehouse, you know, I've got a picture of Cliff Richard and Mary Whitehouse at my house. Mary Whitehouse was the woman who would be on things like Right to Reply all the time, moaning about people like Bowie and Mercury. It's just going, these guys are totally lowering the tone and the standards of Britain, you know, single-handedly lowering our morals. And so, you know, it's funny because back in the day there were sort of these paragons of virtue who were screaming against these people, but you're right.
Yeah, it was all out
breaking
there.
Barriers.
Yes. So there's a couple of interesting things about the Bowie doubt. One is they go for a little showcase at the BBC, and the BBC mark them and judge them essentially, and they get access to this feedback. And basically, it's just horrific. The worst type of feedback you could ever want. The singer can't sing. He's completely out of tune. He doesn't even know what the song's doing. The band aren't particularly good. You know, like everything's a no, no, no. We would not want them on the BBC, you know. So that's quite funny. And then there's a few other bits and pieces. He was with about 9 different bands before he made it, which I hadn't really realised.
And he made it as a solo artist. That's interesting.
Yeah.
But he didn't make it with a band. He made it as a solo artist.
Yes, I think so. I'm only halfway through it, but it's...
Well, he definitely... Because his name is David Bowie, so...
But did he make it as Ziggy first, or did he make it
Ziggy
as Diddy?
Ziggy is David Bowie. Ziggy Stardust, it was the name of an album.
Yeah, okay. Well, it's a very interesting documentary, and I'm fully excited to explore it all, because the music's quite interesting, but I'm more interested in just seeing somebody develop into a grown-up.
I'm looking forward. Mm. I'm going to educate you, but just one song at a time. I'm not going to try and bombard you.
Good.
I'm going to get you to a list. I might get you tipsy.
Yes.
And then sit you down and put on some, with really good speakers.
Uh-huh.
Some.
Okay.
Maybe some David Bowie vinyl.
Okay. Yes. And then the other thing I've started to watch is Rocket Man,
which
is the Elton John film, which is interesting because it's roughly set in roughly about the same time as the Bowie thing. And you're also looking at somebody who was very alternative and you probably would have considered not non-binary necessarily, but he was definitely kind of a bit
flamboyant.
Gay and a bit straight, very flamboyant. Yeah,
I mean, it was interesting because at the time there was Liberace. Mm. I don't know if you remember him.
I star as Liberace in the movie, of course.
Of course.
Beyond the Candelabra.
Oh, of course.
Sorry, Michael Douglas.
Of course you do. Yes. I that was very remiss of me not to think about that. But obviously, Liberace was sort of around the same time, but he was kind of for all the old ladies. He was like the acceptable face of campness. And then came Elton John with these really crazy flamboyant costumes.
Mm.
And it made me sad to see his family's reaction to him as a person and how kind of unaccepted he was, really.
Well, I'm quite enjoying the film, Rocket Man. I'm halfway through that as well, and I'm dipping in and out while I like to eat and watch stuff, you know, so I either sit down for a bite to eat and then I watch half an hour of it or something. Mm. But it's interesting watching these two things go on at the same time. Yeah, and I like doing that generally with documentaries, is if you're watching one thing about a certain period in history, then if you could try and back it up with something else, it gives you more context, you know.
I am pleased that you're watching Rocket Man now, because I think Rocket Man, when it came out in the cinemas, came out at absolutely the wrong time. And I felt like everybody was going, the biopic is the way forward. Oh, my God, Bohemian Rhapsody did so well.
Yeah.
Quick, let's get another one. Or I think maybe they were filming around the same time and Bohemian Rhapsody came out first. Mm-hmm. But it was a problem because Bohemian Rhapsody was a biography of Freddie Mercury and Queen.
Yes.
And it was an amazing sort of story. But Rocket Man is a completely different genre of film. It's a musical, basically.
Yes.
It's a musical that tells the story of Elton John's life.
Mm.
And so it's completely different. And I think it didn't get the adulation and the respect that it deserved at the time. Because lots of people are like,
it's a very different film, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's completely different, and it's equally as good, it's just different.
Because the other one that came out around that time was Blinded by the Light, the Bruce Springsteen movie.
Oh, yeah.
Which, again, is a musical film where they spring into song and dance in the middle of the film. So there's a big crossover, I guess, with the Springsteen one, the Rocket Man one, and then you had, obviously, the Bohemian Rhapsody one.
Yes.
Which I don't think really should have won all the Oscars and things like that. I thought it was good, but I didn't think it was better than everything else that was going on around that time.
Mm.
The good thing about Rocket Man is it's just come on Netflix.
Ah, so okay.
Everyone can watch that. And then the David Bowie thing, Finding Fame, is on the BBC iPlayer. Just search David Bowie and it'll pop up.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really good. I'm enjoying the
whole
thing. Can I just
quickly, as a post-mortem, talk about Line of Duty?
Of course, yes.
And there was a lot of controversy about Line of Duty, and there was kind of people were a bit disappointed with the ending. And this is, please stop listening if you haven't seen it yet. But all I basically saw it as a slight wrap up for this series, and there is potential to do another series, but they can kind of start afresh.
Yep.
They've been looking for this fourth man,
mm.
and they've been capturing people through the various series, but this fourth man has eluded them all the time. And they found the fourth man.
Okay.
And so now I think they just sort of need to put that behind them and start a new case. And it's a little bit up in the air. The trio, you know, Adrian Dunbar, Martin Compson and Vicky McClure. Are they still going to be together?
Mm-hmm.
Is Adrian Dunbar going to retire? So I'm seeing Line of Duty, another series.
You are?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not a spin-off.
Possibly a spin-off. I mean, my God, they got so many viewers.
Yeah.
11 million viewers.
The BBC are going to throw money at
unbelievable.
One,
they've got to do another one.
Mm. It is very impressive, those
it's
figures.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And I think now they have become part of the fabric of Britain. So we need them to come back.
I watched the first two series, I think, maybe three series.
Yeah.
And I haven't watched any of this latest one. But it's because too many people are watching it. If it's too popular, I can't do it.
I know what you mean.
You know, same with Game of Thrones.
I know what you mean. Shall we just finish, or do you... Oh, no, let's do shout-outs and finish on that. Shout-outs,
yes. So Hazel Neild said, just listening to you recommending a diving documentary, mm-hmm. which sounds amazing. In a similar vein, at Free Solo on Amazon
Prime. I've
heard
about that.
I've seen it, so I'll mention it in a minute.
I think I've seen it.
The Free Climber. We didn't know. I watched it at the cinema with the kids.
Yes.
On Amazon Prime is an incredible documentary about a free climber attempting El Capitan in...
what was that?
It's a mountain.
No, I know. I've been there.
El Capitan. I think it's from The Young Ones. They used to... There was a scene in The Young Ones when I was a kid and they go, El Capitan! And I just thought...
I was like,
okay,
what?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been there. Yosemite National Park. It's amazing.
See, I always want to say Yosemite.
Yeah, but it's not.
It's not that, is it? Because
no.
Apple did an upgrade for its system
yes.
once. And it was
Yosemite.
And I said, oh, have you downloaded the Yosemite update?
Do you know, my friend, we were 18, we were going to Paris, and she said, I'll meet you at Trocadero.
Oh, the Trocadero. Oh, my God, brilliant. I've seen Free Solo, and it is something else. It really is. Water came poured out of the palms of my hands
really?
As I was watching it. It's so... I mean, you don't like tents,
no,
right?
I've seen it.
Oh, you have seen
it. I have seen
it. But it's a great suggestion, that, Hazel, and I'd highly recommend it to anybody else. And then Earl Grey Girl One Sarah recommended this Instagram site, which is absolutely brilliant, right? So I'm going to bring it up. He's called Fernando... What's he called? Fernando Rosa.
Yeah.
And he's a bass player. And he's a real dude. So he's got the hair, he's got like the afro, he's got the big bushy beard, and he plays
Rosa
bass.
Rosa bass. Okay, look at his face.
And it, so he just posts this stuff, right? Oh my God, it's so good, isn't it?
Do you know who he needs to get together with?
Who?
Do you know he? Mark Rebele.
Yes, he should do, yeah.
Oh my God, so good. How many followers has he got?
About 200,000.
Stop it. Shut up. Oh!
Right?
Yes!
How good is this guy?
But he's got the look.
The fact that he doesn't say anything either.
I love.
Just like, yeah, baby.
And he's just looking straight at the camera. Oh my God, this guy's amazing.
So that is a great recommendation.
That's
go and follow
so
him.
Good.
Fernando Rosa.
Can I just say something?
Yeah.
Whoever recommended that to us?
Earl Grey Girl.
Earl Grey Girl.
Yeah.
Gets us.
Yes. She knows the drill.
She knows.
She has been listening to us, though, from the very beginning.
I thought I recognised the name.
She said, hello, Michael Davina. Just wanted to tell you about the coolest Instagram page ever.
Well, she totally gets our vibe.
So, Forever Friends, Forever Knits, sorry, they're called. We've recommended these before. I think you recommended Forever Knits. Did you do a knitting thing? Pretty sure you did.
No, I did Wool and the Gang.
These are the scales I've got anyway.
Oh!
Forever Knits recommended me scales. So I
yes, Forever Knits, yeah.
So these are coming tomorrow. But thank
great.
You very much indeed. They're called Renfo scales. They're £25 from Amazon.
£25?
Yeah, they have so much information on.
That's good.
I read the reviews before buying, blah, blah, blah. Not long discovered the podcasts, and I love it. And then there was this last one from Katie Wooten. She's messaged a few times saying she's just watched We Are the Millers.
Oh.
And I did say we've talked about it, but it is...
Great movie.
I mean,
never laughed so much.
I totally agree. It's the funniest comedy film, I think, that is out
Even
there.
Even just thinking about it.
Well, that's why I wanted to read that one out, because if anybody's stuck for something funny to watch and you've not seen it, it's Jennifer Aniston, Justin Sudeikis?
Jason
Sudeikis, the guy who plays Lee Carter in The Son of Rambo, can't remember
And
his
he
name.
Is amazing, oh. Will Poulter.
Will Poulter, that's the one, yeah.
And
yeah.
He's really good in this, because he plays lots of straight roles,
yes.
But actually he's very, very funny.
And
he fancies his sister, which if you watch it, it'll make sense.
And you get to see his testicles.
Yeah, which is great.
Yeah.
Listen, before you go, because I feel like I just want to, while we're on the subject of Instagram, I quickly want to recommend somebody, because this, I love dance Instagram accounts, because really good dancing completely blows my mind. And there's a guy called Jackson Miles Chavis, and his Instagram account is J
the letter J, the number 4, then CKSON 7. The letter J, the number 4, then CKSO 7. Mm-hmm. I'm quickly going to show you, Michael, so you can be amazed. So there's a clip on here that he did with a girl.
Yeah.
And this girl is so freaking hot and cool while she dances. And he found fame really with that guy from Fox News in America that is the weather guy and he does dancing.
Oh.
And he started up his account. He now has 1.8 million followers and he's a dancer.
And was he a weatherman?
No.
Oh.
This guy danced with the weatherman.
Oh, okay.
I found him by following the weatherman and then I found him. Watch this.
You posted this, right, this week?
Yeah. Watch the whole... Look at her.
Wow.
It's just so good.
It's very good. Yeah.
I mean, and the thing is, it's like micro gestures, but they're so tight. And they just look so good.
They do look very cool.
And I just watch them. Oh, Michael's doing a bit of... what is it called?
Popping. Body popping.
Michael's popping.
Popping and locking and chucking.
And Davinia.
Davinia Gomez, I think, is her name. She recommended a film called A Promising Young Woman. And it's on new on Sky. And I think my kids have watched this because they told me about it the other night. And I've heard very good things about it. I don't know anything about it, but I think we will probably watch this at some point. But thank you, Davinia Gomez, for
that.
Yes. Good.
Well, that was really good.
It's all right,
isn't it? We were on fire.
We were. I know, I've even got stuff left over. But all I basically want to do is eat the garlic bread. It's been wafted. This was like... So it's nice to see everybody. Hope everyone's all right. It's my birthday tomorrow, if you're listening on Friday. When's it my birthday?
Sunday? Yeah,
Two sleeps.
This is what's got 48. You into trouble.
I'm 48.
48.
Yeah.
For 6 months, you are only 5 years younger than me.
Oh, is it? And then I'm 6 years younger.
Yeah.
I'm quite a lot younger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just how I like it.
Yeah, okay. Oh, we never talked about that either. We'll talk about that next time.
Oh!
Yeah, we'll save it.
So good. Okay, save it.
I know,
it.
It's great.
Save
it. See you very soon, everybody.
Bye!
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.